Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world. It was getting sunny today, thank goodness. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I wanted to welcome everybody to ScaryCast. We've got a very, very interesting show. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that everybody is here. First of all, we will introduce our co-hosts, our Surgeon General of ScaryCast, the one and only Dr. Trey Dunaway. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Trey?
Good, John. I'm happy to be with you.
I am glad you're here. We might have a bit of a few medical things to talk about, so I thought you might enjoy this one. And, of course, the queen of ScaryCast. We couldn't do it without her, the one and only Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am doing great. I'm excited about the show tonight. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I am. We're excited to have you here. And from Augusta, Georgia, Southern Belle of the South, one of the greatest cities in America, that hosts the Masters and has just got a great heritage and is a very haunted place, one and only Chris Chastain. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Good evening, John. I'm doing great. My favorite night of the week. I'm happy to be here.
We're glad you're here, too. And I did want to remind everybody that on June 17th, North Carolina Bigfoot Conference will be at the Burnsville Town Center in Burnsville, North Carolina. And hopefully all the scary casters will be there, and we will be doing a panel, and it's going to be a lot of fun, crazy stuff, talking about Bigfoot, talking about all kinds of great topics. We have got over 20 vendors signed up. Can you believe that? Robin, can you believe we've got over 20 vendors?
This conference is going to be amazing. And I think because of the area it's in, there's not a lot of conferences there, so it's going to draw people to it because it's not like they're going to have three or four of them there. And the vendors are only going to add to it. There's going to be some spectacular swag there.
Well, it's going to be great. So look forward to having all the scary casters there and everything. So tonight we have a gentleman who is our special guest. He's got a lot of experience in, I'll call it, special operations. And I've gotten to know him over the last couple of weeks. He's very interesting. And for security reasons, we are going to introduce him as Mr. Wrestling 3 from Parts Unknown, like we do in the wrestling world, because that's, I think, an appropriate thing to do. So Mr. Wrestling 3 from Parts Unknown, good evening, and a very special welcome to ScaryCast.
Hey, thank you so much, John. Everyone, glad that you're here, glad to be here, and looking forward to tonight.
Well, good. We're looking forward to having you here. We've got two topics that I wanted us to cover because that's probably all we can get to. There are a lot more topics. You sent me a video that was just stunning and frightening, and it's true. And that's these are not conspiracies. These are true stories. The first one we want to tackle is the treaty that the World Health Organization is putting together and the potential disasters it could cause if the United States goes along and ratifies it. Now, I don't believe that it would pass the Congress. I don't believe it would pass the House of Representatives, frankly. But our president could certainly sign the treaty. So why don't you tell us about it and tell us about the dangers, and then we're going to go around the room and let everybody ask a question about it. And the World Health Organization is, Mr. Wrestling, tell us about the WHO.
Well, I think I'll preface it by starting out by talking about how, you know, we're living in an era where there's a whole supranational network of global corporations, governments, banks, military contractors, media, entertainment conglomerates, pharmaceutical companies, assorted oligarchs, and non-governmental agencies. They're implementing a hybrid system that works together to bring the worst of capitalism and socialism together. And for us, it would be the socialism, and for them, it would be the capitalism. And it's via this thing called ESG that most people might have heard about, maybe not, but we'll talk about that later. But back to the WHO, which is really part and parcel of this, is there's a pandemic treaty, and if it gets passed, it'll be legally binding on the U.S., and it'll allow them to impose lockdowns, vaccine passports, quarantines on all of its member states. It basically would have the authority of law, and that means that any time they would declare a new pandemic, which Bill Gates has promised us is coming, I think Joe Biden's promised them it's coming, Klaus Schwab has promised us a cyber pandemic, and these are the kinds of things that it would be used against us for. So we have to push back against us any way we can. And as to whether the Congress has passed it, I don't know yet, but it's worth people investigating.
That sounds very frightening. It sounds like there are some bad things that could be in store for us if we allow, like the United Nations or another organization, to enforce laws in this country. And am I correct, that's what this is about?
That's what this is about. I think from what I've seen, it's more likely that these things would get imposed and like the blue cities and blue areas. I think the red ones are being pushed back in some of the areas, I would think. You know, I just don't know exactly how this would play out. It's almost hard to imagine something like that because we've never experienced anything quite like that before, except for the events of the last 3 years, and we saw how lots of people acquiesced to that. Now, will they acquiesce to it this time, you know, as much as they did last time? That remains to be seen. I'm hoping not. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to. And I guess I want to ask the first question. Who would actually enforce these lockdowns? Suppose pandemic XYZ hit. Who would be required to enforce these lockdowns?
Well, that's exactly it. That's the question, you know. Again, like in our red areas, or like I know where Mr. Mobius, you talk about a lot, look, the sheriff there has said that there's no way anyone's going to go along with any of this, and no one's expected to. In fact, they would expect to have pushback. But areas, you know, like around New York City and places like that, you know, Chicago, the cities where most of us don't live, those would be places where the enforcement would probably be a little, I think they would try harder there, and it would be more successful there. But it would set a precedent. And a lot of this is being driven against the backdrop of what they call climate change. You know, the idea is to get down to zero carbon. And, of course, when you have zero carbon, that means zero life on Earth. So nobody ever seems to bring that up.
Right. But am I not correct that China emits more carbon, far more carbon than we do? Is that correct?
Oh, of course. You know, they're building new coal. They have new coal-fired plants coming online every week. You know, they don't pay attention to any of this stuff. Now, I've heard people say, well, they have environmental concerns, and maybe they do. But when it comes to coal-fired plants, they sure aren't backing down. And since we've had this forced shotgun wedding between Russia and China, China's doing a lot better now with resources because Russia is rich with resources. And they have to sell it somewhere.
That's exactly right. Okay, well, look, thanks for that quick overview. Robin, the Queen of Scarycast, do you have a question or comment for Mr. Wrestling?
I don't at this moment, only because you guys keep breaking in and out, so I'm only hearing half of what's being said.
Okay. Well, Dr.
So,
Trey, do you
I
have a question for? Yeah, we'll catch you right after Dr. Trey and Chris. Is that fair enough?
That's fine. I just need to be able to catch up because, like I said, I'm only getting half of it.
Okay. Sorry
tell,
about that.
Tell me. I am not familiar. I am not familiar with this proposal. So, what are the essentials of it? Just in a synopsis, because I'm not at all familiar with this. So, what is the proposal? And is this proposal coming from the World Health Organization?
The World Health Organization is the driver of it, and the World Economic Forum is another big player in it, and it's basically a treaty that they're trying to get member states to sign, like the U.S. and everybody else, and it would give authority to the U.N. and specifically to the World Health Organization to tell the member states how they were going to enforce anything related to a new pandemic that might be coming down the pike. And they would be able to, with the force of law, impose lockdowns that the member states would be required to do, vaccine passports, quarantine. It would have the force of law. That's what the big worry is about. It's not, in other words, it's not an advisory kind of committee or steering group. It's actually like giving away our part of our sovereignty to a supranational organization, the UN and particularly the organization WHO, to tell us how to live our lives and what we need to do to travel or if we have to stay home or whatever they're going to do. It would have the force of law. They're basically trying to sidestep the Constitution, which, as you know, has been going on in a lot of other areas for quite a time now.
Yeah, my impression from the World Health Organization and the pandemic overall is not very positive. They always seem to be a couple of steps behind. Some of their recommendations just didn't seem right. But I got to also say that I really wasn't that impressed with our own government, with the CDC. They weren't too impressive either. And the one thing I'm waiting for, which I don't know if I'll ever see, is I'd really like to see the data. It's been years now since they've been collecting the data on what effectiveness all these different variations and permutations. The way I look at it, we've got 50 laboratories in the United States, and they're called states. And I want to see what results different states had with different policies. They keep, as a scientist, I like to see data, and I like to see decisions driven from data. And I still have yet to see a lot of simple data. My number one data concern is, were the people that worked in grocery stores that were open during the pandemic, did the employees of grocery stores have a higher rate of infection than other people? And that's a very simple measurement, but I haven't seen anything that gives a simple view on this. And I know people will say, well, it's complex. Well, of course it's complex, but can't we break it down so it does make sense? And I haven't seen any of that data yet. I haven't seen anything coming out about it. And I really would like to see that, especially before giving control of your health care to any individual that's not absolutely data-driven. And even the dealings with the World Health Organization and their initial pronouncements of the source of the coronavirus, there's still not a decision on that. And you can read differing opinions, but there's nothing coming from science that has been definitive. And my question is there an answer that's just not being revealed, or is it truly baffling to people that ought to know more than they appear to know?
Can I give you an overarching answer to that?
Sure.
Well, when you look at the data, just for the flu and COVID-19, you're looking at the years 2019, 2020, 2021, Well, in 2019, you know, there were like 38 to 40 million, some cases, I don't know the exact number, of flu. But when you look at the COVID-19 year, the flu just totally vanished off the face of the earth. And in fact, as far as an upper respiratory kind of virus year is concerned, it was actually kind of mediocre, statistically speaking, compared to the year before it and the year after it, when there's no real significant COVID-19 reported. I might also add that if you go out and look at the CDC's own website, to this day, they will tell you that they don't have any isolates, which that means they have no samples of COVID-19. So you can take that any way you want it. The other thing I've been finding out a lot of things lately. For example, the reason we thought the spike protein was a brand new thing, it turns out that was isolated back around in the 1970s. I mean, this coronavirus research has been going on for a long, long time. So I don't think that it was as much of a surprise to the powers that be as we've been led to believe. But I guess all of that remains to be seen to come out in the literature and the data in the years to come.
You know, what I found most curious is that maybe it's part of our 24-hour news cycle, as well as just propaganda from all sorts of different sources. But they would make these pronouncements that something had been discovered. And I remember reading about that stuff in medical school. A lot of these whiz-bang discoveries they made, like you said, with spike proteins, that's not like a new thing that's just with this variety of COVID. No, we've known about the structure of viruses forever. And I would always be amazed at how the news cycles would carry explosive news item when it really wasn't explosive at all. It's something that anybody who has anything to do with medicine, just paid attention, understood that we've known about this forever. It's just kind of weird.
Well, it is. And it's also clear that we were subjected to probably the biggest propaganda campaign in the history of the world. It was incredible in its scope and its effects. We went from 15 days of flattening the curve to how many years of staying at home and the breakdowns of supply chains and middle class businesses going kaput. It all just seems like there's more to it than is on the surface.
Well, and I always want to know who's actually making the decisions and how are they being derived. A lot of times science is ignored by politicians, and politicians like to use science to support their own argument. And just about any scientific discovery or any scientific fact can be distorted to support multiple different positions by people that just push that one bit of evidence. And I don't follow scientific literature on this, so I don't know what has been published, but in just looking at my news feeds, and coronavirus is one of my news feeds, I really haven't seen any new information after multiple years of having data collection. And where are we? What have been best practices as defined by the data? I still haven't seen that. So I don't think the next pandemic is going to be in any better shape. I think what I came away from was accelerating the vaccine production was overall on the balance a good thing, because it did get the vaccination out there quickly, and that was a good thing. But beyond that, I really don't know what lessons we've learned.
Well, I suppose next time around, which we're promised, we'll find out, or we won't.
Well, you know, there's bound to be more pandemics because the whole world has a history of pandemics. This is not new in and of itself. It's scary if humans have never been exposed to a virus, and this was the novel coronavirus, and from a science perspective, that is a scary thing. If If our populations have not been exposed to a virus, this is a brand new virus inherently that produces a bigger risk for the unexposed that would be exposed to a new virus. But I'm sure it will happen in the future. But I just like more answers to the data that's been collected before we sign off on anything with any health body, international or national, to determine policy when the science that was given to politicians at one point sometimes is ignored or overlooked or discounted or not supported by actions, especially when you have different population centers, primarily along political lines. And anytime science divides itself along political lines, you know that's not the real science. So I really would like some clear instruction and clear data points that have been generated by this, but I haven't seen them yet. And with the way we're so fractured with politics, I don't know if we will.
You know, Trey, I'm going to jump in here. This is Dr. John, and I'm going to say that might be the most eloquent set of statements I've ever heard from you. I mean, that is brilliant, and I'm glad we've got it on tape, as we call it. No, that was brilliant, and I hope that's something that people will learn from. So I wanted to say thank you for those incredible words of wisdom. I think they're great. They're apolitical, and they are just right on point. Mr. Wrestling, do you agree with that?
I concur 100%.
I'm proud of our Surgeon General. I think he's a man whose opinion we can value, and we're so pleased to have him here. We're so lucky. So thank you, Dr. Trey. And now, Chris Chastain, do you have a question or a comment for Mr. Wrestling?
I do, but first I just wanted to echo that. I told you that one day Dr. Trey is probably the most eloquent speaker I've ever heard before.
You just don't get out enough, Chris. That's all.
Am I under a rock? But, I mean, it's very interesting that you bring that up because, you know, I started thinking about it, you know, where is everything on COVID? And, you know, I don't even hear much anymore about, you know, reminders about getting boosters and vaccinated and things like that. It's almost, and maybe it's because I don't regularly watch the news anymore. Maybe that's why I don't hear it. But I almost wonder with this, what you were talking about with World Health Organization, I almost wonder if the whole COVID pandemic, was it a test run to see, you know, how people would react to those things, because maybe this was in the works long ago, maybe not. I don't know. Do you have an opinion on that?
Are you talking to
Mr. Wrestling?
I have opinions on it. They're personal opinions, so I don't know if I should be sharing them, but I'll say that I do think that this was – let's put it this way. This very well was a test run in the sense that a lot of procedures, a lot of things were put in place. It was seen how the population can be for want of a better term, coerced or influenced mm-hmm. into doing – what the authorities are asking, which is, you know, first we were told to stay home for 15 days to flatten the curve. Does everyone remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And how did 15 days to flatten the curve turn into almost 3 years? So, you know, and during that time, it seems like a lot of things became ingrained in everyone's daily practices, like social distancing. There was no real scientific evidence for the efficacy of that anywhere from what I was able to see. The wearing of masks, Dr. Fauci himself came out and said at one point that they didn't have any efficacy and there was no point in doing them and they should be left for the medical professionals when they're doing surgeries. But then all of a sudden masks became required. And in hindsight, I think it looks manipulative, and and a test was to see how compliant people would be. And they certainly, for the most part, a lot of them, a huge percentage of them, complied with what was asked. But admittedly, I'm not condemning the population for that because they were scared. We've not been confronted with anything like this in our lifetime. There hasn't been anything like this since the Spanish flu. And even looking back at those times, a lot of bizarre things were going on. So anyway, that's where I stand with that.
You know, the masks absolutely drive me crazy. You see people driving their car and they have a mask on. Do you know why? Do you know why they do that? Do you know why people drive the car with inside
no,
their own car?
Craig,
they're the only one in the car
know.
And they have a mask on. Do you want to know why?
Sure.
Tell us.
It stops them from licking the steering wheel. That's why. These are habitual steering wheel lickers. And that's not sanitary.
That.
So they wear a mask. What truly drove me crazy about this is everyone's buying these surgical masks, and I'm a surgeon. And a surgical mask that I use is to keep me from sneezing on an open wound because I can introduce all sorts of stuff into it, and that's probably
right.
Not the best quality of care to give somebody. But it doesn't filter out viruses. I mean, it's like. It's like having a hardware cloth on your screen. It's not going to keep the flies and the mosquitoes out. You need a finer mesh. But yet a virus can just zip right through and around people with facial hair, if they have a beard, well, they're wasting their time because the air is getting sucked in between the skin and the beard. It's not going.
That's why you don't wear a beard with a gas mask.
Yes, it's just ridiculous. So what I don't understand is how people got suckered into thinking that this was really helping them because it wasn't. Now I've been on an airplane in the midst of the pandemic. And I was wearing an N95 mask because I was in a closed system. And I've had friends who have gotten sick when they've traveled, and they just came back because they said, well, I didn't quarantine,
I
just came back. How did you get back? Well, I took an airplane. I wore a mask. So you know the virus is hanging around because of when you look at the population studies of who's getting it, there was a lot of people getting it. But this business about wearing masks now, even for the immune suppressed, if you're truly immune suppressed, get yourself a decent mask. But don't be wearing a surgical mask, which is just, unless you just like supporting the people that manufacture and sell surgical masks. That just drives me crazy. I'm sorry. That was my little soapbox moment.
You
that's very good.
Dr.
I noticed in Japan that people
– pictures.
Sorry.
Dr. Trey, I'm going to say this. How dare you talk about people with beards because I have a goatee. I'm just teasing. I have to say that to you, buddy.
I grow a beard every year for Irish Fest because I'm the jumbo leprechaun at our local Irish Fest. And, wearing a mask is just – it's absurd. You don't need a mask. The one I had was green with sequins because it was mandated by the state of South Carolina. If you had an event, you had to have a mask on. And this is an outdoor event, for crying out loud. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I had a sequined mask on, which did absolutely no good for infection control, but I didn't get it, and I didn't give it to anybody. And we weren't a super spreader event, so I guess we did okay.
But you looked really good.
Yeah.
I looked spectacular with a green sequined mask on my leprechaun outfit.
I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't. It was really good.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Robin McRae, what question do you have for Mr. Wrestling?
I'm not sure, and I agree with everything he's saying, just for the record. But the comments that I have as far as the government with all of this should not be said on air. But the thing of it is for me, I think there's from this outsider that doesn't know anything about it, you know, it seems like it's a way to control the people. And it feels like everything that if you go through the course of time, little by little, it's more control, more control, more control. And it got to the point when COVID, like I agree with Trey, those masks were useless. And you get these people and you buy them at the store and they're basic, they're not even a surgical mask. They're a piece of fabric that people make and you wear them and they have cute little things on them. I mean, I can remember Pat and I went to the store and they had one that had a Sasquatch face mouth on it. And you put it on and your mouth became a Sasquatch. So we of course, got those. And we had a ball with them. We looked fabulous. We truly did. But it wasn't going to help us in any way, shape, or form. And the grandkids one day, I took them to the store, and they had all these masks that you could buy, and then you bought markers with them, and you could decorate your own mask. All it was fabric like you would have on pajamas. It's not going to do you any good, but again, the kids had a wonderful time decorating them, and they look fabulous. So, I mean, I think they made money on all this at our expense. I think they tried to control everybody, again, at our expense. I don't think we were ever given the information. Just like Trey said, he's still waiting for information to come out. And everybody says it's complicated. Well, I'm sure that it is to a degree. But since we're the one dying over whatever this thing is, I think that kind of, you know, gives us a little bit of incentive that we deserve to know the information. And I think what information they put out was inaccurate. Like different people that I know of within different systems, the stuff I found out from them was much more helpful than anything I found out from the media or, you know, like our governor here would make statements and they'd put it up on the internet and everything. And everything contradicted itself, and it was like everybody was in mass confusion because we're all chickens with our heads cut off, running around in circles, wearing these masks with sequins and, you know, Bigfoot faces on them and coloring them all up, and we looked darn good doing it. What help did it offer us? I mean, really, there was no help that was being offered, and then there were so many restrictions. You couldn't do anything. Nobody knew what they were doing. Nobody had a say in anything, and I think, in my opinion, it made it only worse. I don't think that it was a benefit to anybody. And I think they've kept so much of it hidden that we probably will never know, you know, the whole reasons for all of it. But then they had on the site for our town, they put information, and this was probably, I want to say, within the last year, about there was yet another new strand coming out, and this was absorbed through the skin. And everybody masked up again. If it's being absorbed through your skin, how is a mask helping you no matter what kind you have on? And now our hospitals here in Orangeburg, where I'm at, are jam-packed full of COVID patients. Everybody you know now is getting COVID, but yet there's no more talk about it. Like when it first came out, it was everybody was on lockdown and don't anybody leave your house. And, of course, the economy got tanked because of it. And now I don't see where it's really gone down a whole heck of a lot. And they're not talking about locking down anything anymore. It's like, whatever, fend for yourselves. You know, and it's like, is this more of a population control?
I think the emphasis shifted to Ukraine.
Anything else? Yeah, I agree 100%. But it's
on a
like
dime.
Here with the high. Huh?
No, I just said it flipped on a dime. It seemed one day it was COVID, the next day it was Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always
See, what I loved is China. China's locked down, and they're going to lock down. And this is what the premier of China, they can't back off of this because he came out definitively, this is how we're going to handle it. And then like 3 days later, it's like, we're not doing that anymore. And end of discussion.
Exactly.
What just happened? What magic thing just happened to make it like go away? Right now, I just scanned through a list of stories on COVID. This is my news feed. Here's the headline. China might have 65 million COVID cases a week by June. How worried should the world be? Well, they need to be worried enough to read the article, right? And support the advertisers. And we know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, and you're right. People say, well, there's no more COVID. No, there is still COVID. We will always have COVID. It'll never go away. We're always going to have
right.
COVID. It is like the common cold. We're just going to have it. Hopefully, it'll become less and less lethal, and it won't kill as many people. There's no doubt about it. some people got clobbered by COVID because it was a new virus the population hadn't seen. Got it. Understand that. Fine. But you're not going to hide forever. But if they scare up another virus, you know, what were the results of what we did, what worked, what didn't work? And I didn't see anything that talked about what worked and didn't work. But I still see pictures on the COVID feed of everybody in stupid surgical masks, which are just like, I did read one article. They said if you're not attractive, people that are not attractive tend to wear their mask longer than people that don't think they're unattractive.
I saw that.
And that makes sense. Well, you know, sure, this is a good excuse. Hide behind the mask. It's good. And, you know, maybe it's making the world look better. I don't know. But it's just nuts.
Well, like here in Orangeburg, my daughter had she's pregnant. She had a health scare recently, and we were up at the emergency room. She had to have an emergency surgery done, and I was talking with one of the nurses, and I had overheard another nurse talking about, oh, COVID's not a problem anymore. It's not a big deal. And I said to the nurse that was taking care of my daughter, I said, since when is it not a problem? Because everybody I know is getting it. And she said, I don't know why they keep saying that. She said, we are just as full of COVID patients as we were before. She said, it's still coming in. It's still coming hot and heavy. She said, it's just no longer being talked about publicly anymore. We're being instructed to downplay it. Now, I have a very good friend of mine. She has had all the shots. She's had all the boosters. She rarely leaves her house other than to go to the store to get her own groceries, and she goes back home, or she has doctor's appointments. She just got done with 3 weeks worth of COVID, and it's the second time she's got it.
It's you can still get it. Now, the idea behind the vaccine, of course, is that it mitigates it, hopefully, to some degree. So you'll get it. Hopefully, you won't be as sick as long. You won't die. You still can. But, you know, the interesting thing is when this first came out, when everybody was talking about COVID and the vaccines were going to come out, I said to my wife, as soon as the vaccine comes out, we got to take it right away. Why? Because I remember I was in medical school when the swine flu vaccine came out. Remember swine flu? And then people got Guillain-Barré. Why? Because vaccines can give people Guillain-Barré. That's the reason why. Yes, it's a known complication. It happens. I said, we got to hurry up and get these vaccines before people get Guillain-Barré from the vaccine. And then they say, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. And they shut it down. I really am disappointed in the science, in the basic science and population studies and epidemiological studies about what was effective, what was not. Because we've gone a long way from, you know, washing everything you buy in a grocery store, spraying it down with Clorox before you even touch the package. I mean, that's all just nuts. Yes, you can get the virus through other places other than your lungs. But we've known this since we figured out smallpox, even before we even understood what smallpox was. When they first came up with variolation, you give people smallpox with variolation in the 18th century, but you gave it to them directly into the skin, which was a slower response. It didn't overwhelm the immune system, and you could survive smallpox, as opposed to breathing it where the virus was right in the lung and says, oh, look where I am here in the lung, which is exactly where I wanted to be. And it goes to town and it kills you. So this has been understood, even though the science wasn't understood. This has been understood since 1719. I think that was my date for variolation when it came in the Newgate experiments in London. So, you know, this is 300 years of understanding the behavior of viruses, and all of a sudden it's like no one's ever heard of any of this before in the media, and I think it was to sell ad space and to scare people. If you're scared, you're going to read the article, and then you're going to say, oh, woe is me, which is great. It's just like if you have a symptom, you go on the Internet, and the next thing you know, you're convinced you're dying. And then you make an appointment, you see the doctor, and they say, you're dying, but you're not going to die from this, but we're all going to die eventually. And that's end of that story. I'm sorry. Another soapbox.
No, but it's true.
That was a good one.
But it is. Yeah, it was a good one. But the thing of it is when it first came out, I think Canada, as far as I'm concerned, I have a son that lives there, and the mandates there were just so extreme, it was ridiculous. I mean, ours were bad enough, but theirs were just impossible. And so they have all these mandates. We go through all these things, and it's like we're all these good little puppets. We're doing what we're told to do, but yet where's the information to back anything? I mean, where is the information to give us the knowledge that, as far as I'm concerned, we deserve to have? And it really just, I never felt like we ever got a good explanation on anything. And anything that we did get told, within 24 hours, that was changed.
Well,
and yet
I've got one
there.
Question. I've got one question, Mr. Ressler. And I guess I could look this up. I haven't bothered
sure.
because I don't care enough. But here's my question. What is Israel's relationship with the World Health Organization?
You know, I do not know exactly what their association is with the World Health Organization, but I do know that
they
were probably the biggest experiment in the world.
Are they a driving force with the World Health Organization? Because I tell you, and this
well,
is, this
I heard, I think I heard the leader not long ago. The leadership was talking about how Israel had been laboratory for the pharmaceutical companies and it was they were one of the, had some of the highest vaccination rates in the world, and they also have lots of adverse reactions, and a lot of that's not getting reported from what I hear. I mean, I think it is. Occasionally I'll see things about it, but they were the most. It was forced on. It was more coerced on them than anyone else. They had a higher, let's put it this way, they had a higher compliance rate than most anyone else. But as for their role with, I don't, maybe with the pharmaceutical companies, but with the World Health Organization, well, I mean, perhaps you could say the pharmaceutical companies are tied in with the World Health Organization. But I can't tell you specifically. But I do know that they had a great deal of pride in being, not they, but the leadership had a great deal of pride in Israel being pretty much of a laboratory.
Well, the reason I
asked
that is because when the vaccines would come out and, you know, you'd read, well, you ought to have the vaccine booster in 6 months, although the data is saying in 4 months your immunity levels drop. They were going back and forth and back and forth, and you couldn't tell. And what I discovered just by figuring out who seemed to know what the hell they were doing is Israel. When Israel makes a statement, when they made a statement about coronavirus, they actually used some data to explain why we recommend this or that, and they were fairly steady at the helm on this. It wasn't a lot of gyrations. It wasn't a lot. I mean, it all fell into place from the science that they displayed. So I followed the Israeli guidelines. That was my North Star to navigate through all of this. I just said, well, what's Israel doing? If Israel's doing this and they have the data to support it, I like that, because I haven't certainly seen any kind of data like that from our own country.
Well,
and
sounds
you
like
kind
that,
of think
that sounds like
they
that
ought
the best
to do
you had.
Yes, that was the most factually based information I could glean. And that's how I determined when I got boosters and additional repeat vaccines and all of that. So hats off to Israel. They did a great job. They made the most sense of any country in dealing with coronavirus that I could read about.
That was very interesting, Trey. That really was. So we might want to start watching Israel a lot more. Well, I tell you what,
if I read a news
Mr.
article
Wilson,
that's coming from Israel, I pay attention.
I got
to it. Otherwise,
sorry,
I'm sorry, Mr. Wrestling. Here's what I want to do. We're bumping up against time. We've had only one of our two topics, so I want to give you the last word on the World Health Organization and this whole idea of us signing the treaty and everything, and I'm going to ask you back week after next. Ms. Robin, please make a note of this. Well, I want to ask you back week after next to talk about AI and, honestly, to talk about fluoride. That is the biggest thing I've ever seen. So anyway, Mr. Wrestling, our undercover
guy.
Thank
you. I was disconnected there for a couple.
Do what?
I'm sorry, continue. I had an echo, but I could deal with it. Keep talking.
I said, Mr. Wrestling, I want you to close up on the whole World Health Organization and why they want us to do the get part of this treaty and the dangers of it, because I think this is important. And we've had a very lively discussion on COVID. This has been like one of the best discussions we've ever had. Dr. Trey Dunaway gave one of the most eloquent speeches of all time on the 7 years of ScaryCast. So please close up on our comments tonight.
Well, it's hard to top him, but you have to understand, my background is considerably different. You know, I come from a different world where we just look at the world. I have a geopolitical look at things. But looking at what the World Health Organization wants to do, I mean, they're a bureaucracy in search of power, like every bureaucracy is. And they're just a very big bureaucracy, and they've got, like, lots of purse strings. And I this is just my personal opinion. I don't think it's a good thing to be ceding the sovereignty of any country, especially our country, you know, to a supranational organization that's going to tell us, you know, what we're supposed to do. I'm all in favor of advisories. You know, if there's good data and information that's useful and not being politically driven, and it's being, you know, given to mitigate a pandemic or some other health kind of thing, that's all to the good. But to actually usurp the authority of the United States and our Constitution, it just seems like a very bad idea, and it's going to have a bad end down the road.
Well, I agree with you, Mr. Wrestling, and certainly. Now, here's what I would like to do now. This is something we've never done before, but I'm going to give everybody 2 minutes to comment, and we'll close down tonight. We'll be back next week with John Dixon, who's a ufologist, and he's going to be at the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. And then if you're okay with it, Professor Mr. Wrestling, we'd love to have you back in 2 weeks. So you can let me know off camera what's going on, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, so Chris Chastain, give us your last 2 minutes of fame on this topic.
Woo, 2 minutes. I will say, it's a little bit enlightening because, like I said, I haven't thought a lot about COVID in general in quite some time, just because it's not in your face or anything anymore. I'm curious about, those that did take the vaccines, and I'm not anti-vaccine at all, you know, but, and I know, you know, back when this was, you know, happening and people were dying, you know, I was also one, you know, let me get it as quickly as I can, you know, for my family as well. But, you know, now I'm starting to wonder, I didn't realize that about Israel, that they had a lot of, a lot of reactions in past year. You know, I developed, you know, what my doctor thinks is fibromyalgia. And I'm like, you know, where the heck did this come from? I'm not old or anything, but I have to wonder, you know, was it from, you know, the vaccines and the boosters? But, with this whole thing with World Health Organization, it's a little bit frightening. You know, and I was talking to a friend not long ago, you know, when the subject did come up very, you know, very briefly, it's like in hindsight, looking back over the COVID years, it's like, I don't know, my perception on it is a little bit different than it was then. So I'll leave it at that. But yeah,
all right, well, thank you.
Lots of really great information, Mr. Wrestling. I appreciate it.
We
certainly sure
thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right, the Queen of ScaryCast is next. What is your comment and your closing remarks for this ScaryCast tonight?
First of all, I love the conversation. I think it's a conversation that should be more out in the public, to be honest with you. to me, it's very frightening the amount of control that seems to be very slowly taking over us little by little. You know, maybe not even as one big huge thing, but a little by little, it's more, it's happening more and more. And I tend to agree with Mr. Wrestling. I am perfectly fine with suggestions, giving information, because in, as far as I'm concerned, information is power. How can you know what to do for yourself and other people if you don't have all of the information? And so having advisement and those kinds of things, I am all for. But when it comes to taking away control of ourselves and our own choices, I have an issue with that. And I think what's going to happen is, you know, there will be people out there, not myself, but people out there that as soon as people try to take control over them, they're going to push back. And they're a type of people that will, even if it's going to, you know, chop the nose off their face, rather than let anybody have control, they're going to do it. And the overall effect that that's going to have on us is going to be a disaster. Because when you try to take that much control over people, there's always going to be somebody out there that doesn't care if, you know, if it's going to hurt you or not. They aren't going to be taken control over, and they're going to push back. And that's going to be a snowball effect on the rest of us. You know, but I mean, I don't want my control over my choices taken away. I want reliable information so I can make the best choice and have the best understanding of how to proceed and what is going to be in the best interest of everybody, not just myself. So I appreciate Mr. Wrestling coming on here, because I think the information is extremely valuable, insightful, and it is, as far as I'm concerned, it's very much appreciated.
Well, Mr. Wrestling, I think everybody on Scary Cats kind of agrees with Robin. We really appreciate you being here. And Dr. Trey Dunaway, our Surgeon General, you get the last word tonight.
The last two words are informed consent. Before I do surgery on someone, I tell them what the surgery is, what potential risks and complications, including death, what the potential benefits are going to be, my opinion on where it's going to fall, what's most likely to occur, what's unlikely to occur but still has the possibility of occurring, based on the information that the medical science community provides to me when I do continuing medical education and continue to learn in the changing world of healthcare for humans. And if you allow one organization to take that away, your informed consent, then you're dealing with a big insurance company, which is one of the worst things about being a doctor, is because it would limit your options with working through an insurance company, what a gatekeeper will pay for or not pay for. So I look at the World Health Organization under these circumstances, when they're calling the shot, is like, it was the worst insurance company you could ever possibly create that there is no recourse against. I learned a long time ago that a bureaucracy's primary function is to keep the bureaucracy running. That's the number one purpose. We can look at programs called Medicare. Medicare's main problem is to keep Medicare running, funded, so they're able to pay some bills. But everything else is secondary to that. So if you give the World Healthcare Organization total control over all the decisions without getting permission from the people that they are calling the shots for, and that is not informed consent, the World Health Organization's primary purpose would be to keep the WHO running, and everything else would be secondary. So I don't think that, just from a very basic informational point of view, I think this is a ridiculous idea. And again, people need to talk to someone who is a professional in healthcare, given information that's provided by science, and then they should make their own decision. I've had lots of patients who have decided that what I suggested is not what they're going to do, and that is entirely up to them. I can give my opinion, exactly, but I'm not going to make that decision for that patient. I mean, I've had patients, I remember one patient in medical school. She had cervical cancer. She had cervical carcinoma. and she refused to have a hysterectomy because she said her husband would leave her because she wouldn't be a woman anymore if she had surgery.
Wow.
And all you can do is say, I don't think that's going to matter. I think you're still going to be a woman, and you'll still be a woman for your husband. But she wouldn't, she just, that was her decision. And you say, if you change your mind, let me know. And there's nothing else you can do. So signing away your rights to make a personal decision about the health care that you receive is always a bad idea. That's all I got.
Dr. Trey Dunaway, again, another eloquent speech, and thank you so much. And all I've got to say is call your congressman, call your senators, and make sure that at least the Congress votes against this. This does not sound good. And Mr. Wrestling, 3, from Parts Unknown, I want to thank you very much. You have been a wonderful guest. I believe I can speak for the whole crowd. We have enjoyed you being here, and we look forward to having you in 2 weeks if that works for your schedule. I'll check with you. And so, again, thank you very much for being here, okay?
Absolutely, and thank you, guys. I've enjoyed this to no end. It's the first time I've been on air in ages, and it's good to be back.
Well, we love having you here. You're welcome anytime.
It was a great discussion.
You were great. And so thank you very much. And so we'll say goodbye. We'll see everybody next week, same bat time, same bat channel, John Dixon, ufologist and Bigfoot researcher, and it's going to be a blast. John Dixon is one of the most exciting people I've ever met, and we were going to try to do a doubleheader with him tonight, but he was sick. He came to the coast and got sick on seafood, which happens. My dad did that one time. Guys, thank you very much. It was absolutely wonderful. I'll do the call around, and I appreciate everybody being here. This is the one, the only, the Scary Cat.